We'll take a couple minutes for any questions if anybody has a question real quick.
Take a few moments and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2.
We're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll pray.
Verse number 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for each one that's here. Lord, we pray now that you would help us as we look into your word just for a short time, that your spirit would lead and guide through all that's said and done. Help us to have open and clean hearts. Lord, if there's something that we need to take care of, Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that. Lord, forgive us of our sins. But then, Lord, help us to listen to your word, and then help us to learn and to apply what you have for us tonight. Lord, thank you for your love for us. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. When we think of missions and missionaries, a lot of times we think of the guy who's going to the place that nobody's ever been to. And he's going to preach the gospel. And that needs to be done. One of the jobs of a missionary is to spread the gospel. If he's not doing that, he's not a good missionary. And there are people that need to know the name of Jesus Christ and need to hear about salvation and need to hear that Christ loved them enough to die for them so that they can be saved. And we see that. What did Paul do? We read in the book of Acts, we saw where he went and he preached Christ. And he established churches. But that's not all he did. You read in Acts chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, he goes back to those same churches, and the Bible says confirming the souls, which means strengthening. And one of the things that the missionary needs to do, once he's seen people saved and got a church going maybe, or a mission work going, he needs to begin to teach those people. One thing I've seen in the last 7 years that we've been there in Peru is the need not only for Christians, but for strong Christians. Christians that will stand up for what's right. Sometimes we look at a Christian and we think, or I've seen some people, why are you doing that? And many times it's because they haven't been taught yet. They don't know any better. You can't just win them to Christ and leave them there. If the missionary does that, when he leaves, what's going to be left? It's all going to fall apart. And Paul wrote here in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. I just finished teaching these three books last semester in our seminary. And I enjoyed teaching them. And I learned a lot while I was studying and preparing my lessons in my class. But the one thing that Paul focused on over and over to those two men, he told Timothy and Titus, you need to teach, you need to prepare, mature the people. There's two things that Paul talked about over and over in these three books. Number one is responsibility, the testimony of the pastor, his responsibility as a pastor, and then his relationship with the people. But the thing, one of his big responsibilities is to teach people. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. Verse number 9 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things..." Now, we didn't read all of it. You can start in chapter verse 1, or you can start in chapter 1, verse 1, and read all down to here. But he says, "These things, what I've been telling you, Timothy, command and teach."
chapter 6, verse number 1.
Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things, what? Teach and exhort.
And if you read Titus chapter 1, Paul sent Titus to the island of Crete. And the testimony of the Cretans was they were slow bellies, they were liars. And Paul said, it's true. Now, Titus, you go teach them. You go correct them. Teach them the truth. Teach them what is right. Now, I don't know how old Titus was. We believe he was a young man. And could you imagine receiving that job from Paul? He had to stand up in front of those people and say, look, this is what's right, and what you are doing is not right. Yeah. And he had to teach the people. And sometimes it's because they don't want to hear. But many times, it's probably maybe because they haven't been taught. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul kind of gives an outline, a way to do it, instruction manual. He says here, Timothy, verse number 2, and the things thou hast heard of me, Timothy, I taught you. You went with me. We walked together. You saw me work. You worked with me. I taught you. I prepared you. I invested in you. Now what you've learned, what's he say? The same, which thou heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Timothy, don't just learn it and keep it. Why do we learn something? So that we can improve our life, or so that we can give it out to somebody else? Now, one thing we need to learn here, first of all, don't teach if you don't know it. Learn it, and then teach it. Amen. If you don't have anything to teach, don't teach. Learn something first. Amen. But there is a responsibility to teach faithful men, the next generation. If you're a parent and you have kids in your home, there's your responsibility right in front of your eyes every day of your life. Amen. To teach them what you have been taught. My parents were Christians. My grandparents were Christians. Most of my great-grandparents were Christians. And I know some of my great-great-grandparents were Christians. I've stood on a church porch in South Carolina, where one of my relatives in the 1860s or so was the pastor. I have been blessed. I don't know how many generations of number Christian I am. I went to Bible college, and I am ashamed to say this, but Bible doctrines class, I worked at 6 o'clock in the morning, while I got off at 7:30, went to class at 8. My teacher's voice was just one line, monotone. There was no change or nothing. I sat in the back of the class and slept. But I got an A in the class because somebody taught me long before I ever got to college. Not because I'm super smart, because I'm not. Because somebody taught me. But now that I've been taught, I'm supposed to teach faithful men. Not keep it to myself. Give it to somebody else. Why? So they can keep it to themselves? What's it say here in the rest of the verse? Who shall be able to teach others also? So somebody teaches us, we teach somebody else, so they can go teach somebody else. I've had the privilege to go down the Amazon River to the Amazon jungle. This last February, went all the way to Brazil. But we go to a town called Cavalcocha. About 10,000 people in this little town, about a little river right off the Amazon River. or not a little river, a little river for the jungle, but it's a river there. And we teach pastors for a week. Because a lot of those pastors in the jungle never finished high school. They didn't have the opportunity. There was no high school. Or if there was school, half the year of flood stage and schools are full of water and they can't go to school. Or at least that's the way it was when I was there the first time. Why? Why do we teach those pastors? So they can go into the jungle and teach somebody else. You go to the Amazon jungle. If you don't have a boat, you don't go anywhere. And if you don't know where you're going, you better not go anywhere. Because it's all trees. You can't see anything. You people that grew up here in Kansas, I grew up in Wyoming. I understand the same. There's no trees you can see for miles, right? There you can't see. And there's rivers going this way and rivers here and rivers there. And you don't know where anything's at. We went for 4 or 5 days up and down the Amazon River, stopping these little villages. In a little boat, about maybe 20 feet long by about 4 feet wide, had an awning over it, and I let the driver take us wherever we went. Because if I'd have been driving that boat, we'd have never made it anywhere. You know, for me to go to the jungle to teach people in the jungle, I'd have to learn how to drive a boat. I'd have to learn those rivers. I might have to learn the dialect of the people because they don't all speak Spanish. I'd have to learn their culture, get used to eating fish eyes and all the food that they eat there all the time. When if I can go in and teach the pastors for a week, we go in every year, somebody goes in every year, then they can go teach those people. They know the languages. They know the culture. They can drive the boat. They know how to survive. And it's a whole lot easier than one American trying to navigate the Amazon River. So we can teach them so that they can teach somebody else. But it doesn't stop there, does it? The idea is it goes on to another generation and another generation and another generation. You know, it's been probably 1950, 60 some odd years since Paul wrote this book. Getting close to 2,000 years. And somebody's been teaching somebody who taught somebody else, who taught somebody else. And one day, it reached you and I. Are we not blessed to think that for nearly 2,000 years, there have been faithful men who have taught the next generation of faithful men, and eventually it reached us? When I was in the jungle this last time, they asked me to teach church history. They gave me 5 hours to teach church history. That's impossible. So we hit some highlights, and just a few highlights in 5 hours. But the last 10 minutes of my time, I wanted to show these guys the responsibility that they have. The responsibility that we have, really. So I brought a guy up, and I had a piece of paper, and he was holding up. It said Jerusalem, where the first church was. And then I had another guy come up, and he's held up a piece of paper that said Antioch, where sent out Paul and Barnabas, sent out Paul and Silas, the church there. And then the third guy, he was holding up Ephesus. And I know this probably isn't exactly right, and it wasn't, because we don't know all the steps from church to church to church. But to make the point. And then we went, I don't remember all the steps we had, but we went through England. And then we came to America. And then we went down to Iquitos, Peru. Then went to Cabayacocha, Peru. And then some little village, I don't remember the name of it, a little bitty village of 20 homes. There's a little bitty church that's been there for a year, almost 2 years now. And I said, here's our history for 2,000 years. See how blessed we are? But then we got over here to the last one, and I had one more person come up. And his piece of paper just had a question mark. Where's the next one going to be? Because if it ends just with me,
after 2,000 years, what am I going to tell God? When I have to stand before Him and He says, you're one that's almost 2,000 years down the line and you didn't tell anybody else? You didn't prepare the next generation? Your family, for 6, 7, 8 generations, you've had Christians in your family and you didn't teach your daughters? What would I tell God if it stopped with me? And it shouldn't stop with us. Now, Christ may come back, but we better be in the middle of teaching the next generation. Because if He doesn't come back and we're gone, who's going to be sitting in your seat? You know what they're not going to do? They're not going to come down here in the pew and put, when you pass away, and put a little name, this is where this so-and-so sat. Thank God for him and honor that spot. And nobody ever sit there. Shouldn't do that. It should be open for somebody else who's being taught by somebody maybe that we taught. Why do you teach Sunday school? It's not for today. We don't teach for today. A school teacher does not teach for today. Teaches for the future. You teach 1 + 1 in kindergarten. So when I get to 9th grade, like my daughter's going to be this year, she can take algebra. But if she didn't start 1 + 1 in kindergarten, and she started algebra, it would never work. You teach for the future. You teach to be replaced. You teach to help them in the future. We need Christians who have been taught, who can stand for what's right. It's not getting any easier to be a Christian. It can be discouraging in our day and age. And it seems like there are very few strong Christians, maybe some at times, that we can feel that way. But if we can teach people to be strong, to know the Word of God, stand up for what's right, the world will never destroy the Christian. Rome tried, did they not? For nearly 200 years, or over 200 years, they tried to persecute and wipe out the Christians. And those Christians were, the tradition says, in the middle of that Colosseum in Rome, waiting for the lions to come meet them, and all the thousands of people sitting there in the crowd, jeering, laughing, mocking them, and they were singing praises, standing for what's right in the middle of that Colosseum. Amen. The lions came and ate them. They died there that day. Somebody was sitting in the Colosseum and said, that person's different. They stood for something. What was it? And they began to search. And before long, they were that person standing in the middle of the Colosseum. And somebody else was sitting there watching them and said the same thing. Because somebody taught somebody who taught somebody else. I watched a video a few months ago, and I'll finish with this, of a lady, I believe in Syria, a Christian lady. Syria, if you're not a Muslim, it's against the law. I mean, you could be punished. You could die. I think it's Syria. It may have been Iran, but I believe it was Syria. She said in this video, I was praying one day, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, give me your life. She said, okay, I can do that. She sprang again. She said the next day, God, what do you want me to do? God said, give me your husband. Okay, God, I can do that. Praying the next day, I believe it was. God, what do you want me to do? God said, give me your children. That's a little bit harder, isn't it? She said, you know, people know that we're Christians, and sometimes when they don't like what the radical Muslims were doing, they come and talk to us, and we have an opportunity to witness to them. She said, we know that at any moment they could knock on our door, or they could blow through our door, knock our door down,
come in with their machetes or whatever and try to force us to recant. And they could take our lives. She said, what do I tell my kids? That's a good question, isn't it? What would you tell your kids? What would you do? She says, this is what I told my children. If they come in, and they may, that's what I want you to do. Just close your eyes. Don't look around. Close your eyes, trust God. And if you hear screaming, if you hear shouting, whatever you do, keep your eyes closed. She didn't want them seeing her head being cut off, her husband being attacked. She didn't want them to see all that. She said, and if we die, when we open our eyes, we'll be in heaven. It takes strength to say that. It takes more strength to do it. But if we don't teach people the Word of God, they're not going to have the strength to do that. If we don't start with it, determine we're going to do what's right, and then teach somebody else. The missionary needs to prepare the people. When the missionary leaves, he eventually has to leave. Is the work going to stay? When we're gone, is there still going to be a church with new people, new faces, new voices, new little kids running around, new older people, whoever? It all depends on if we're willing to teach them what we have been taught. Teach them to stand for what's right. Teach them by example. How do you be able to, you be here on Sunday? You're teaching other people to be here. And then we have opportunities to open the Word of God, teach them what we have been taught, so that the next generation can hear the same thing as well. I hope it's a blessing to you and encouragement to you tonight. We have to thank God for those who have taught us. Help us to be faithful in doing our part as well. Pastor.